name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From today's first reading, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 1. A great portent appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. It is a brave preacher who chooses to preach about the book of Revelation. But I always enjoy it because the book contains wonderful and fantastic images which dazzle us and frighten us. The book of Revelation is what is known as apocalyptic writing, and in the Old Testament the book of Daniel is the same. And the book of Revelation is often referred to as the book of the apocalypse because of that. Both these books, Daniel and Revelation, contain images of the end of all things and the triumph of good and the reign of God. Both of these books were written at times of persecution to give the faithful some hope for the future. As they were suffering, reading these books gave them confidence that all was not in vain. Unfortunately, in recent centuries, fringe Christian groups have used these books as sort of like fortune-telling or stars columns, trying to tell us that they portray current events. For instance, the establishment of the State of Israel is supposed to have been prophesied in Revelation, and the Communist Empire, of course. And I remember when credit cards came out, I'm old enough to remember that, we were told that this was the number 666, and by using credit cards we would always all be numbered with the mark and number of the beast. Those sort of groups believe in what we might call a bookkeeper God, one who keeps invoices and debits and weighs them up in the balance. In contrast, Catholic Christians believe not in a bookkeeper God, but in an incarnational God, who is a God who shows his love for us in the childbearing of Mary and reveals that love to us in her child, Jesus Christ. Revelation doesn't always reveal that God of love. Sometimes it seems it is a bookkeeper God that Revelation is giving to us. And the book on the whole does seem a bit of a mystery. And perhaps the most mysterious image of all is this woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon with a crown of 12 stars. The woman of the apocalypse, she is referred to, and through the centuries much Christian art has been used to portray the woman standing on the moon, clothed with the sun. The church has always understood this woman to be Mary, for obvious reasons. This woman is about to give birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations. But in this prophecy of the birth of her son, we do not see Mary of Bethlehem. There is no serene setting here, no humble stable, no adoring shepherds at the manger. No, here in Revelation 12 there is danger. A great red dragon, could it be communist China, is waiting to devour her child. The baby Jesus is under threat, and Mary labours in great travail as the dragon waits to stoop. But then, all is not lost, for the child on being born is taken up to God and his throne, and he is, as the book says, the one who is to rule the nations. But of course, at Bethlehem, the baby Jesus was not taken up to God's throne. He was, in fact, taken to Egypt by Mary and Joseph. So it's not the Bethlehem scene that Revelation portrays in the childbearing of this woman. What does it all mean? To start with, we must understand that Revelation is the unveiling of things as God sees them, not as we see them. So in these images, it is fatal to interpret times and events that we are familiar with, but rather to see in them a message, which is why the book is called Revelation. Colourful images like the woman, the dragon, the seven heads, the harlot of Babylon, and even the number 666 are images of what was happening when the book was written way back in the first century. That was the time of the great persecution, particularly in Rome. And the harlot of Babylon in the book of Revelation is nothing else than that corrupt Roman Empire. Or it may be she is the goddess Roma, who was the centre of Roman religion. The seven-headed beast, this dragon, is the Roman emperors who persecuted the Christians. There were seven of them. And 666, the number of the beast, was understood to represent the most evil of all those Roman emperors, Nero himself, who burned the Christians in his garden to light up his parties. The dragon, of course, may symbolise Satan, but in this context, he is more likely to represent the political, economic, and religious systems of the day, which were so pagan in the eyes of the first Christians. So you see, when the woman and the dragon do battle in Revelation 12, it is symbolic of the battle between the church and the powers of this world. And even though this relates to the first century, this battle has been repeated century after century. It is a pattern we see even today. Aggressive atheism and New Age religions confront the church more than ever before and accuse us of being deluded by myths and fantasies. More pertinently, in recent years, the Roman Catholic Church has been under great attack, particularly by the media, for their sins. And though the Episcopal Church may not be under such attack, within our church, there also seems to be a battle between traditionalists like us and those who would revise the Christian faith. The woman and the dragon still do battle. Thousands of years ago in the Old Testament, Joshua gathered the Israelites Shechem and challenged them to choose whom they would serve. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Revelation chapter 12 offers a similar choice. Since Christians could never choose the dragon, we must choose Mary and all that she represents: goodness, purity, holiness, following Christ, and of course, the incarnation itself. The birth pangs of this woman clothed with the sun are not the birth pangs of Bethlehem. They are the birth pangs of Jesus' death and resurrection. That is why the child is taken up to God and his throne. It is Jesus' exaltation to God's throne at his resurrection and ascension, and the birth is the birth of the church itself. And this is emphasized, this birth pangs of the resurrection, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, where it declares that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings on earth. Here in chapter 12, we see this firstborn from the dead being born into resurrection through the woman clothed with the sun. This image of the woman and the dragon is not just about Mary. It is an image of the resurrection of Christ and of our resurrection too. As we celebrate Mary's assumption, we celebrate our own resurrection promised to us through Christ. In this way, Mary is not only an image of every Christian, but also a sign of the church in its heavenly glory. That is the significance of the 12 stars on her head. They represent the 12 apostles, the foundation of the church. And so this woman clothed with the sun is the church in glory. The first Christians needed this image of Mary as hope for themselves. Do we 21st century Christians need Mary's image any less? Heavenly glory is only possible for Mary and for us because Jesus now reigns in glory through his resurrection. Mary is queen in a vesture of gold because Jesus is the king on the throne in heaven. And like her, we shall one day reign with him. And so we have this chorus in Revelation. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. The woman of the apocalypse is the woman of the resurrection and the woman of Mary's assumption. The noted theologian Karl Rahner says that what we say of Mary is what we hope for ourselves. Not so much a place in heaven nor a throne, but a condition, heavenly glory and salvation. Thus, these images of the woman clothed with sun and the queen in a vesture of gold are images not only of Mary, but also of us and what we shall be one day. Today we honour Mary and celebrate that central act of God's love, the resurrection. We also remember that the battle between the woman and the dragon is an ongoing battle in which her children, you and I, are still involved. Mary is the image of the church militant on earth and triumphant in heaven. And so today we are glad, today we rejoice, because today is our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.